So we are on the road this afternoon in San Francisco for the Cahors Malbec tour with 15 winemakers in town from Cahors, and I'm having the pleasure to speak with Hélène Chouve, who represents Domaine du Prince, and I would like to introduce Hélène, so welcome.
Hi, welcome. Welcome. Thank you for welcoming me.
Definitely. So I know we're at the last stage of the tour here, and excited to be in San Francisco. It's not yet a market that Cahors has all too much representation in. So just would love you to introduce your winery that you're representing, Domaine du Prince, and speak a bit about the Cahors region.
Okay, so we are a family winery, a family running winery. We've been doing wine for a long, very long time, probably centuries, but we're doing bottles only. We've been doing bottles only for 40, 50 years. And we do a lot of selling in our area. We have a lot of local customers, and we are trying to find a new market on the export.
Something like 80% of Cahors wine is consumed within the region.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And what else? We have our vineyards represent 27 hectares of vines. And we are, what else could I say?
Well, tell me a little bit about the region itself, what makes Cahors unique.
Well, just because it's a special grape.
Which is what?
Grape variety, which is Malbec.
Malbec, yeah.
And it's a very, very old grape variety. And probably back during the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it's more famous in the world because of the Argentinians that have done a great marketing job about Malbec wine. But it's originally a grape that comes from
France.
From France,
yeah.
Definitely from the Cahors area.
Sure. Yeah. And what exactly it makes the region unique in terms of climate to allow this grape varietal to thrive?
Probably because Cahors region, Cahors area, is located between the Atlantic Ocean and the Mediterranean Sea, so it gets both of weathers, and it's way enough to keep the area from Atlantic bad weather,
mm-hmm.
bad humidity, and also from the wind which is coming from Mediterranean Sea is also far enough to be just the right temperature for raising grapes.
Yeah. There. And in terms of the difference between the French Malbec that you you see in Cahors and the Malbec that we drink in Argentina, can you describe a bit? I mean, they're very different, but for many consumers who don't know Cahors yet, what are some of those differences to speak of? Yeah, I mean, it's Argentina is quite ripe, right?
Yes, probably. Well, the Malbec in France, the one we're doing is the soil is not the same. It's
mm-hmm.
more like a terroir.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever vineyards are along the valley or on the plateau, it's still a terroir wine.
Yeah.
And it is, so the soil makes it special, and it's a grape that can be aged for a long time and be kept in bottle for much longer than Argentinian wines that are usually wine that are drinkable within 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And Cahors wine can last 20 years before
20
being
years. Ah, yes. That's exciting. You're showing today a 2004 Domaine du Prince.
Right.
Right. And you had mentioned there's another one on your lineup that's a 2006, which is your top wine.
Yes.
What's that called?
Le Prince.
Le Prince, okay.
Le Prince. Actually, you want to know the legend about.
Yes, definitely.
A long time ago in the countryside in France, different families had nicknames. And probably one of our ancestors went to Paris to brought some wine or some vineyards to the king, François Ier, in Fontainebleau. And so when he came back, because he saw the king, everybody in the village called him after Le Prince. Le Prince, which is the word for the prince in Occitan.
Okay.
And we still have some tax papers back that are old, probably one or 200 centuries old tax papers, where it's written Jouve, which is our name, also called Le Prince.
Oh, it's so it goes written, by two different family names.
It's not family names. It's the first family, but the nickname.
The nickname, also, okay.
The nickname of the family.
Okay. Well, it's a beautiful, striking bottle that has this very classic, old world look to it. So,
yeah. With some wax on it.
Some wax, yeah, exactly. You don't see that much so more, but it's certainly a beautiful wine, and as you mentioned, still young, being 2006, but something that's going to age gracefully.
Definitely.
Yeah. I recently had the 05 and was really impressed by how soft it was and approachable.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And I had a 2000 and 2001 the other day. And,
oh, yeah?
And they were just wonderful.
Yeah.
They were just wonderful, even though they can be kept still longer if we want to.
So when we think about Cahors and we think about coming into the more of a presence in the U.S. market, it's first goal to get the wines more well known, and then also to help consumers know that they are certainly age worthy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I hope. Well, the tendency of the world now is to buy and drink right away.
Right.
But that what makes difficult to sell Cahors wines to saying people that they got to keep them.
Yeah.
They're not used to that.
Right, that's true.
Some people do, but most of the people, as soon as they buy a bottle, it's for drinking.
Right.
Drink it right away.
But perhaps the style, which is one of the categories of Cahors called tender and fruity, which is kind of the, I'd say, entry into an easier kind of lighter version of Malbec from Cahors, could be drank early after purchase.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's an easier wine to drink
in its youth.
But at the same time, you won't see any 2009 wine on the market yet.
Yeah, yeah.
For the Cahors wine, you won't find any. It has to wait at least 1 year, more than 1 year, to find some bottles of recent wines on the in the stores.
Yeah, I mean, most of the wines that we have here today are either 2007s or younger. So
right.
Yeah, I'm sorry, or older.
Older.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's only maybe one or two 2008 around. So, well, good. We look forward to. I know your wines are available in the States, on the Florida at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. But hopefully more states,
larger area will be many, many other states.
Good.
I hope so.
Well, safe travels back to France, and then thanks for your time this afternoon.
You're welcome.
So we have another winemaker here this afternoon by the name of Lucien Dimani, whose family's winery is located in Cahors, Le Bout de l'Eau. So welcome, Lucien.
Welcome.
So I know you split your time between Cahors and Virginia, where you're the winemaker at Afton. And how long has your family been in the wine business in Cahors?
How long? I'm the fourth generation of winemaker in Cahors. My great-grandfather had vines but he had also a farm with cow and tobacco, and it was really my father who stopped the farm side and focus everything on the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
On the vineyard. So, and in 1998, we start our own estate.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2002, he built the cellar, and now we are making our own wine under our own label since 2002. Yeah, that's it.
So, what is a little bit of that you can explain for the American consumer that's, you know, been to some of these tastings about the reemergence of the Car region?
About that, I guess thanks to the Argentinian, because without them, I think we wouldn't have been there today. The Malbec from Argentina is now famous, and a lot of American consumer know the Malbec from Argentina. But what they don't know is there is a Malbec place in France, in Cahors. And the good thing is, even if with Argentina we grew Malbec, it's a totally different Malbec that we do. So, in fact, even in the Malbec market, we are not fighting against each other. We
mm-hmm.
are kind of complementary.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that we have to do at Cahors is just be known.
Right.
Because
right.
I think once we will be known, once the machine will be well oiled. Yeah, well oiled, it will be much easier.
Yeah.
Much easier.
So I mean, it's evident from tasting these wines that they're certainly a different expression of the grape varietal Malbec. And given that you do live here and you see the consumption of Argentinian Malbec, and perhaps you on your own time drink it as well, people who haven't yet had the chance to taste Cahors, how might you describe the differences between Argentinian Malbec and French Malbec?
Well, I think Argentinian Malbec, if I compare to Cahors Malbec, it's still kind of a new style winemaking, very fruity, a lot of oak flavor, and not very different from vintage to vintage. What we
right.
have in Cahors, it's something. Even from me to my neighbor, I am on the third terrace. I am on Red Clay, for example, and he's on limestone or plateau. Even if we grow the same Malbec, same age, same density, same kind of winemaking, we're gonna have two totally different Malbec. That's why in Cahors, regarding the vintage and regarding where we are, we have so many different wines. And when I have a Malbec from Argentina, they taste totally different, but from a winery to another, they are very similar.
Okay, that's fair to say. So there's microclimates and micro terroirs within Cahors which make for a different style, and certainly within Cahors there's different styles that exist.
Yeah.
But from a overall perspective, the differences being that Cahors Malbec is certainly more earth driven, more mineral driven.
Yeah.
It's a cooler climate to a certain degree than Argentina. So
yeah, Malbec it's very high temperature. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's definitely cooler in Cahors.
And then can you just mention a bit about growing Malbec? I mean, as a winemaker, do you find that it's a difficult grape to grow? Or?
Yeah, I can do that. Malbec is not very easy to grow in Cahors. We have kind of... Malbec is... The Malbec vine is a diva. You have to take care of it every time.
Did you say it's a diva?
Yeah, it's a diva. If you don't take care of it, you will be in trouble. So,
but it's not as is it as fickle as, you know, Pinot Noir, for instance. I mean, it's a pretty vigorous grape varietal, right?
Yeah, that's why we have to do. We do a lot of work about vigor control, crop control, how to minimize, how to adapt the good crop to the vigor, the good crop to the age of the vine. And it's not, it's more a problem of experience than a problem of work. We have, we know how to work, but sometimes here, because wine and vines are not an exact science, and that's what it makes our work very interesting, because even if my father, who is 56 years old and who grew vines from a long time, I'm sure he still learn every day.
Yeah.
And it's a tough work to work with Malbec, and that's why even I did Malbec in Bordeaux, but it was good Malbec, but yeah, Merlot would have been better on this on this soil. The Malbec was kind of couldn't be able to exprime his potential.
Yeah. Because it's interesting, because I don't know that most people, when they think of Malbec, necessarily think of it as a difficult grape variety, just because it's so lush, and when in the expression from Argentina, in terms of the volume and that they're able to produce, you don't necessarily think at first that it could be such a hard grape to cultivate and to really oversee.
Yeah, it's also very, I'm sure it's not very easy for them too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, we have some kind of problem with Malbec of fruitness, and that's right, sometimes, some year, we have a bad fruitness, a bad flowering, and instead of having a normal production, we can sometimes have half of this production.
Wow.
So it's a big loss for
sure.
Foreign company.
Sure.
Imagine half of your production. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in 2003, but it wasn't a problem of flowering. It was a problem of dryness. It was a very, very dry year. Yeah. And in Cahors, it was more than half of loss.
Well, I know that you are certainly coming to the end of this tour, which has been quite a full packed week. So I won't take up too much of your time, as I know everyone's a little bit tired. But what was your experience this week, just in general, with being in the three different cities, Miami, Washington D.C., and here in San Francisco? What were some of the impressions that you were getting from the people who were tasting your wines and some of the other wines in the room?
It was nice. From Miami to D.C. to San Francisco, what I saw a lot of interesting people, a lot. I expected more people, but the people what I had was quality people. I say quality people, was people who was interested, who wasn't there only for drink and thank you, goodbye.
Right.
There was press, there was some importers, there was some distributor, and they didn't taste one or two wines and just left. They took the time to taste the two or three wines per winery, and they did all of them. So I think if you're not interested in tasting Cahors wine, and if after one or two you're not happy with the tasting, or the flavor, or with what you taste, you just leave.
Yeah.
And they stayed, and I think they enjoy it.
Great.
They enjoy it. I didn't have any bad comment about about my wines, about my neighbor wines, and all my friends. Nothing.
So it'll be good and interesting to see going forward the development of the region and the States.
Yeah. Now we have to keep going and follow these people. It's gonna be another kind of job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be hot.
Well, thanks so much. And,
you're welcome.
Look forward to seeing you in Cahors or in Virginia next time.
Yeah, okay. Come when you want.
Okay, cheers.
Cheers.